Welcome back to the DNA Pest Control Podcast. Daniel.
Oh, you beat me to the punch.
I had to.
That was quick.
Yeah, I know.
That was really quick. Dang, okay.
We're getting to it today because we have another pest guest. We have Eddie from South New Jersey. He is an owner-operator of Freedom Pest Management, sort of a side business he's starting, but we're going to dive into that. Eddie, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Loud and clear. Thank you very much.
Now, thank you for coming on the show. We love having you guys on.
I'm looking forward to it. Thanks a lot for having me.
Yeah, Eddie. So how did you get into the industry?
So I have a interesting way of getting into it. In South Jersey, we have a lot of mosquitoes. They're very bad here. Among all the other pests that are pretty common, ants, mice, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I live back in the woods. I actually have a couple acres of land. And like I said, the mosquitoes were really, really bad in this area. We get a lot of humidity. So I had a guy come out. It was a friend of a friend, and he sprayed my yard. He came, he was, in and out in 20 minutes, and it was $100. It was like, no big deal. And for 3 weeks, I didn't get bit. And I was like, wow, this is like kind of cool. Like all I did was have this guy come out. And then I thought about it. And I said, what does it take to actually be able to do that yourself? And then, I have a kind of an entrepreneurial background. So I thought, well, hey, if it wasn't really that hard, all I did was walk around with a backpack sprayer. I'm sure there's some stuff behind it, but what do I have to do to get into it? And then I just kind of, started researching everything and then went from there. And here I am with an applicator license and started my own little business.
Oh, nice. Okay. And how long have you had your business?
So I've been in the industry for about a year and a half now. The first, probably better part of 4 months, maybe a little bit longer, was more of getting the licensing, doing all the classes that I had to do in order to get, category licenses. I would say about a year and a half. And then, like I said, in the beginning of that was more of just the training aspect of it and licensing.
Gotcha. Okay. And so how many other businesses do you have?
I have a full-time job. I do some real estate investing. So I have a few properties, and then I also have a construction company, which I did, to put myself through college. And I started that when I was about 16. I'm 30 now. So I've had that for quite a while, but I've started to tone that back a little bit. Kind of push, pull in different directions where I want to focus my efforts.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. So within this year and a half of kind of opening up, getting into the pest control, opening up your business, what have been the ups and what have been the downs?
So I commend everybody in the pest industry. I think, I don't want to say that it's stigmatized, but I definitely think that, people are like, oh, exterminator just coming in and spraying baseboards. But there is an insane amount of knowledge that I didn't even know went into the learning and, thought process of the professionals. So I really have a big appreciation for, just all the different things you have to learn. And with that comes part of the downs, which is, oh my gosh, like, what did I get myself into? There's so much to learn. Am I going to be able to collect all this? So that's definitely a big one. The ups are that I am a future thinker, and I see that there's a massive, massive potential in this industry. There's so much work out there. And the other thing is I kind of think about construction, where you go in and you really need to make the customer happy. And, I'm a firm believer that your work is your signature. So you need to do your work well, and it needs to be to expectations. So the pest industry, you kill a bunch of the bugs and people are really, really happy,
Yeah.
It's like, I only got bit a couple of times, but if a pipe's leaking, it's leaking. So
yeah,
I think the ups are that there's a lot of potential. There's a lot of great knowledge, and the downs are that it can be tough. I think that especially this podcast has helped me substantially because, you can only do so much reading on paper, but learning from experiences is invaluable. So, it's tough. It's definitely tough coming into this, not really knowing many people. That's probably been my hardest part.
Yeah. Well, you and so many others. I mean, I went through the same thing, and I actually had guys who had decades of experience around me, and they didn't even want to teach me. So, you know, it, even if you know them, sometimes they don't even want to tell you anything, and it's go figure it out. And that's what I had to do.
Right.
You know? Okay. So that's pretty cool. So you ended up getting into it. Now, year and a half, you had some ups, you had some downs. What was one of the biggest learning experiences or learning curves you went through?
I would say really just being able to tailor your approach to different pests. So the mosquito, I focus mostly on mosquito and general pests. I am currently not licensed in wood destroying insects like termites, that kind of stuff. I kind of wanted to keep myself on the smaller side just to get my feet wet, learn, get to know the industry a little bit, get all the equipment and stuff like that. But I would say, you know, like for instance, an ant treatment. I read all this stuff. I've listened to your podcast. I've asked different people. I've asked my, the sales rep for the pesticide, supply center that I purchased from. And, you know, you go in with this mindset of, I'm going to go in, I'm going to do my treatment exactly like I, you know, have trained to do. And then 2 weeks later, you get a call and say, hey, I'm still having ants. And you're like, oh no, like this is going to be a massive failure. So that's been a big one for me, is just understanding that, you know, the pest is going to do what it wants. And sometimes you need to just accept the fact that maybe the first time didn't work and you got to figure out how to overcome it a different way.
Yeah. Yeah. And that actually, now that you're mentioning that, that is a huge thing that technicians need to understand. And how I actually even treated when I was going through it was every situation was an experiment. So I go into an ant situation. It's, I'm going to try this mixture of chemicals. I'm going to follow the label, what it says, and we're going to see what the outcome is. And when we got a call back, it was like, okay, cool. I tried it that way. Now I'm going to go back and I'm going to try it a different way and see how that works. And so using that and experimenting really helps.
Yeah, that's actually a really good thought too, you know, because one way is not working, but then you kind of change up your recipe and you figure out what does actually work.
Yeah, it will, because a lot of technicians in the industry, they shoot themselves in the foot because they get too confident. And what happens is they walk into a situation and they say, oh, ant, I got this. You know, I'm going to grab Alpine. I'm going to spray around and we're good to go. You know, I'm going to spray extra heavy today. And then they have an ant issue still. But they tell the customer, I got it. You're not going to see anything. 24 hours are gone. They're dead or whatever. You know, so you're setting the expectation so high that when they do come back, you know, the customer now is angry at you. And in some cases, you don't get that second or third opportunity to try it again. So when I've always went in, is I was always brutally honest with people. You know, here's the product.
Right.
This is what's worked in the past. Your situation, every situation is different. So let's hope that this works within a week to 2 weeks. If it doesn't, then we know we can come back, we can retreat, and we'll try a different product and a different method.
You must have a channel into my brain, because exactly what you said is something that I, you know, quickly experienced early on in my treating.
Yeah. So
I it's like verbatim. I had an ant job, and they knew I was early on. It was somebody that I knew, and I said, "Listen, I'm still learning. Like this may fail, it may not. I don't know. I'm really figuring this out." But it was the same thing. I used Alpine. You know, I'll find all the base loads, that kind of thing. I put Advion ant gels out. Sprayed the outside with a Termidor, you know, did a foundation treatment, and sure enough, a couple weeks later, hey, we found a couple more ants. It really works, but they're coming back, and I'm like, oh no, this is it.
Yeah,
it's funny.
No, yeah, and I mean, it happens, but that is good. You know, it is good to keep an open mind, especially in this industry, because I see it just like you, right? There's so much potential here for growth and innovation, but also, you can't get stuck in your ways, you know. We're constantly changing. We're constantly learning, you know, about these insects, about these rodents, about different pests, that we have to adapt to what we learn and what we know. what we know today is not going to be the same as what we're going to know 5 years from now. And the products that we're going to be able to use are going to be so much different. So when guys aren't willing to learn and adapt and change the process, that's when they get left behind, or they start to see this, you know, their business shrinking, and they start to lose a bunch of customers because they go back to the old methods. Let's go and throw a bunch of bait up in an attic. Yeah, it's going to work. You're going to kill rodents, but that's not the best practice, not from what we know today.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, so that is, it's good. And that's just a good warning for everybody. It's keep an open mind. You know, it's changing so quickly, the industry. So yeah, definitely be open to learn.
Yeah. And I know that, like, there's a big, at least from, you know, I guess since I just started training, really, there's a big focus I noticed on IPM, which seems like it wasn't, you know, as much of like, you know, spray and pray kind of stuff, but the whole, you know, integrating the different things like exclusion work, that kind of stuff, is, it seems like that's more talked about now. And I noticed a lot of companies, at least in my area, they kind of market themselves as people that, you know, we don't even sometimes have to spray inside, or we, you know, sometimes we don't even treat right away. Like, we're going to try something different before we just jump right into spraying stuff. So, you know, I agree. It's, even in my short time here, I can see how things can evolve very quickly in the industry.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And you're fresh into it. So you're going to see even more and more changes, because it seems within the last decade, we've had a few changes, but it hasn't been massive, you know, until just recently. So as the years are coming up, I'm seeing, oh, we had a change within the last 10 years here in California with waterways. Mm-hmm. And then we had, you know, mm-hmm. rodent bait, and then it was actually Termidor. Then it was rodent bait, and everything started picking up even quicker. So it's looking like we're going to have changes probably on a yearly basis, at least here in California, that's going to restrict our service and really restrict what we do.
Right. Yeah, it seems like California has quite the restrictions on different things. I think, I just actually used a rodenticide recently, and I think it's, I don't think you can use it in California. I was like, oh my gosh, wow. Like, something that I think is so common in this area, First Strike. I don't know if you guys are able to use that, but I think I read the label correctly. It said that it's not, you know, not allowed in California.
No, yeah. When it comes to rodenticides, with that law that got passed, I think it's been about 2 years now. Yeah, no, you just can't. There's no wiggle room on it, unless you're on an orchard, you know, or outside of the city limits. Then you're able to use certain rodenticides, but we're just really restricted now on what we can and can't use.
Yeah, that makes it very interesting for sure, because, you know, it definitely makes it tougher for you guys. But yeah. I guess it's more just, you just have to change your approach, right? That's kind of the learning process.
Well, it's really cool, because it allows us to step ahead of everybody else. So you get a lot of these, one of the guys said it, tech jockeys.
Yeah, spray jockey. Yeah.
Spray jockey, that's what it was. He called him a spray jockey.
Right.
That's right on point, because so many people don't care to learn. They don't care to expand their knowledge in this industry. So when something new does come out, you know, we're so open to adapt to those changes that other companies aren't, that creates such a massive opportunity for us, and it pushes everybody else to the side. And we just naturally, you know, get better than them, and we pass them, which is really cool. So I don't look at it as a negative thing. Yeah, it makes it tougher, and it sucks because there's a lot of spray jockeys out there that have now made it so we're limited on chemicals. But outside of that, we're doing better. You know, it doesn't necessarily hurt. Yeah. So I guess now that you're hearing that, you're seeing, so the laws out in New Jersey are pretty lenient then.
I would say, I guess, and, you know, I haven't really looked across the country how we compare, but generally speaking, New Jersey is pretty, you know, they're pretty tight on restrictions with things. We're usually not as strong as California, but we're usually out there with pretty much any type of regulation in our state. So we, as far as the pesticides go, it seems like we're on the more lenient side. Most of the stuff is, you know, is not restricted as far as, you know, different products that are under EPA regulations or registration, I should say. But they definitely are tough as far as it goes with the legality part of owning a business. So, mm-hmm. you know, the transportation, the storage, which I think is pretty common across the, you know, across all the states. But we definitely seem to be tough. Like, I know a lot of the mixtures, you know, it'll say, like, if in New Jersey, that kind of thing, because we have a lot of, you know, pollinators in this area, and they really are working to restrict certain things and, you know, how you spray. And if you spray a certain amount, it needs to be reported. So it definitely seems, I guess, more lenient than California, but, you know, not the most lenient.
Yeah. Okay. Gotcha. What are you kind of specialized? I know you said just general pests and mosquitoes, but what is the majority of what you do? Is it most residential, commercial?
Yep. So right now I would say pretty much 100% residential. I do know some people that, that have some commercial stuff that they wanted me to look at. But to be honest, I don't know that I fully trust my knowledge right now to just jump right into big accounts like that. My one benefit is I'm pretty good at selling just because I'm in sales for my full-time job. So I feel confident, and, you know, I've been doing it with my construction business for a while. So yeah. I feel confident in my ability to sell. So once I get to that point, I probably will try to transition a little bit, but right now I'm mostly just residential. And I've been focusing, as I said, I have two categories. I have my mosquito and tick and then my general pest. So I've been doing a lot of mouse treatments, ant treatments. They're pretty common. And then the mosquitoes. Like I said, mosquitoes in this area are bad. I mean, they are really bad. So that's the biggest pest, I would say, that people want to get rid of in this area. I mean, you have your typical people that just want to have their foundation sprayed, just, you know, just prophylactic work. But here I've been, you know, doing mostly mosquito, you know, just because it's pretty consistent work. It's every 3 weeks you're going out and spraying, and, you know, people are really happy when they can enjoy their yards that they, you know, otherwise could not before. So I would say mosquito is my top right now, but then the general stuff here and there as well.
So with your mosquito work, is it so you're going out there every 3 weeks or every month?
Generally speaking, depending on the product, obviously, got to follow the label. So some of the pesticides is every 4 weeks. It can't be, you know, can't be sprayed more than every 4 weeks. Some are 3 weeks, but yeah, it's pretty consistently every 3 or 4 weeks, you know, we're going out and spraying for the mosquitoes. Yep.
Oh, that's cool. Okay. Yeah. Nice. Yeah. It's a little bit different. We don't have too many. I mean, we do have mosquitoes, but it's not a massive problem out here because we're not as humid either. So.
Yeah. I mean, here there's actually companies here that are just mosquitoes. That's all they do is mosquito work. They don't do general pests. They don't do any of it. They just, from April to October, they're just every 3 weeks spraying. And I mean, there's so much potential. There's so much money to be made in that. But I think that's why some people just focus on that.
Yeah, no, that's crazy to hear, you know, different areas and what main pest is really kind of controlling that market. So that is actually kind of interesting, you know, because I do know here with vector control, we don't really do, you know, a lot of mosquito stuff. I don't even think it really exists. Not on that level.
That is actually very interesting then. Wow.
Yeah, but it's mostly because the state has taken that over. So the state has their vector control that, you know, take care of mosquitoes. But, you know, I do know, you know, over where you're at, so over on the East Coast, it is a lot. I don't think government or states have taken that over. It's more, hey, companies, pest control companies are doing it or contracted out.
Right, and we do have the state. I know the state of New Jersey has programs. They're usually county-based that they come out and they, like, you know, quote-unquote spray your yard, but it's more of just like a misting. It's actually a funny story. My parents would tell me about, you know, it was called the mosquito truck. Everyone, you know, the kids knew the mosquito truck. And when the mosquito truck would come around, what do you think they did as kids? they ran behind it in the midst of pesticide that keto dropped the strain. Like, oh my gosh, like, wait, what? You did what? And you know the restrictions weren't there then. So, like, yeah, that was the best thing. You would run behind the mosquito truck in the midst. But they've really, the stuff that they use, I'm not exactly sure, but they're not using like pyrethroids or anything. They just used, I don't even know, just something they would spray, and it was supposed to kill, it was more of a larvicide, I guess, to kill anything in stagnant water. But it just does not work. I mean, we have such a high infestation of mosquitoes here that it I don't think anyone's ever seen a difference made from it. So that's why they go the, you know, commercial route with calling the company to come out and do it for them.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not a super well, because here in California you have to have a QAL license to treat water, and to really get into the mosquito work. But the little knowledge I do know about mosquitoes, they do reproduce very quickly and they're very resilient. So it makes a lot of sense why they're so bad in those areas.
Right.
So Eddie, what kind of questions do you have? I know we had a short conversation, actually not with me directly on Instagram, but I was reading kind of through the conversation. And I know you kind of wanted to pick our brains on a few things. I don't know if you're comfortable with getting into that right now or on the podcast. If you are, let's go, you know?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I'm just going to need about 3 weeks of your time and access to your phone 24/7.
Hey, that's okay.
No, believe me, I, like you said the same thing, you know, some people in your area that are professionals and they just don't want to share the knowledge. If I know something and somebody asks, I love teaching, or, you know, I love teaching other people knowledge because I know how valuable it is. So I seriously appreciate what you guys are doing with the podcast and with the openness of helping people like me that are new to this, because it really, I mean, I searched for probably, you know, a couple months just trying to find an Instagram page or a podcast or like a forum that was an actual point of contact to talk to people. I mean, there's some that are selling service. Oh, you know, I'll consult you on this, but it's like, listen, I'm just trying to learn simple stuff, man. Like, can we just join this community together? So again, I appreciate what you guys are doing, but I think the biggest thing for me, honestly, was just what pesticide to use, you know, what do you use, and trying to figure out, you know, the different approach, because we had an exterminator that was coming in my parents' house and just spray the baseboards real quick. He'd be in and out 20 minutes. You know, he might spray for some carpenter bees outside. He would put some dust in the holes and then he'd leave. But I'm like, does that actually work? Like, what is the industry standard for like a general pest treatment? And I know that might be a broad question, so maybe we can kind of dig deeper in that, but maybe you could kind of walk me through just a general pest treatment. Someone just calls and says, hey, you know, I have just ants coming in my house. I have just bugs that I find here and there, silverfish, that kind of stuff. So what would your mindset be if you could just like walk me through that mindset?
Yeah. So getting into that, first things first, I had that exact same question when I took over. Actually, before I took over the business, I pulled in actually John Woodward. He was on a couple episodes, I think about a year ago. He's from Geotech. So I actually pulled him in and I showed him our little chemical room back in the day. And I said, okay, what do I need and what do I not need? And luckily, I mean, he was a salesman at this time, and now he's running the sales team there. But he was actually really, really honest with me. And we connected on a deeper level, which was cool, because he wasn't just a sales rep coming in and selling me a product. He actually was coming in and consulting me on, this is what you should use, this is what you shouldn't use, this looks good, that doesn't look good. And I know that Geotech, as a distributor, they make more money with different companies, you know. So I was still a little skeptical listening to him saying, okay, what, you know, what are you actually, you know, where are you making money and what product are you pushing on me? And so when we were looking at it, you know, he kind of took a step back and said, okay, look, you have so many different products when we talk about, you know, the product bifenthrin, you know, which is a pyrethroid. And so, you know, for your general service, he was looking at it as like, okay, look, we have Masterline I can sell you. I have Bifen IT I can sell you. He has other crappier products that are less than. And he said, look, honestly, the cheapest product that's best for a smaller business in your case, I would go with Bifen IT. And I said, okay, give me like, why, you know, is it good? Is it bad? And he's like, look, Masterline, you pay for the name. Bifen IT, you're not paying for the name brand. So you're going to get it cheaper and it's still going to do just as good as Masterline. I said, perfect. I said, that works. You know, so he was just very, very honest with us. You know, so when we're walking into these general sprays, you know, spraying the foundation, everybody has their rules. And here in California, it really depends on what license you have. You know, so your very broad question, you know, to get dial it in, is here in California, majority of companies, what they're going to do on a general service is they're going to come out, they're going to deweb your home. So they're knocking down all the spider webs, the wasp nests, everything, right? The really good companies will do second story eaves and along your fence line and inside your garage. More of the lazier guys, the ones that aren't doing a very good job, they're going to hit around the eaves of the home and that's it. And then they're out of there. And spraying, right? So they're spraying the foundation. And just as a general practice, what they teach across the board, we're spraying the foundation. We're spraying around the doors and windows. We'll spray the eaves if it's, you know, if it's not as windy, you know, things like that. Now, if you have your QAL license, you're able to spray the lawn as well. So here we're able to actually treat the lawn area. So we'll spray the foundation and then we're going 30 feet out from the home.
We do have a category for that as well, but
so we have both licenses, so we're able to do the structural pest, you know, control as well as essentially ag pest control. So we're able to treat the lawn, the bushes, and go out from the structure to treat. So when you go and see,
so you guys are you guys you guys are using pretty much all the same products for that whole suite. You guys will do, is that what you guys are using mostly, is Bifen IT?
So what we use is we use Bifen IT and we use Essentria IC Pro because that's the new product. We can't get IC3. Yep. So we have both of those products for the general pest control. When we're going on the inside, we have a few different products that we can use. It just is now, that's where it's going to get more specific. What are you treating for? What are you doing? What, you know, what are you seeing? Now we're going to kind of tailor that service to your need. Same thing on the outside. If I go to your house and you say, Daniel, look, I got a big issue with ants. I'm not going to spray Bifen around your home. I'm now going to tailor the service to what you're seeing. And I'm going to tell you that. I'm not going to spray your lawn. I'm not going to spray everything today. You know, I'm going to be using a different product. The product's Termidor. This is what I'm going to do. And this is going to help you with your ant situation. You know, so it really just depends on what pests we're running into. When you're asking general, what do you have on your vehicle? And I think this actually goes across the board. The brand name may change, but the chemical is probably about the same. Most companies have Bifen on their truck. So a bifenthrin, whether that's Masterline, whether that's a different pyrethroid product, it's going to be something similar because it's such a broad label. If you're talking about eco-friendly services, you're going to have Essentria. You may spray with ER22, EcoRaider, maybe. It really stinks, but I don't know, you know. So you may get some mix-ups there if you're doing an eco-friendly service. On the inside, you can have Phantom. You can have, if you got deep pockets, you might buy Temperid. But majority here in California, Alpine WSG is the go. You know, it's the great go-to. Phantom was until Alpine came out.
Okay. And yeah, that's actually one that I use quite a bit, is Alpine for the inside treatments. You know, especially for the ants, because from what I've read, the transfer technology of that is very, you know, is very effective for treating especially ants if they're taking it back to the colony.
Yeah, and it is. Yeah, so Alpine, and the cool, and I think a lot of it actually is politics, personally. I think Alpine came out and they kind of destroyed Phantom and took Phantom off the market with their marketing schemes and really trying to push them out. But I think it all came down to politics on that. Because Phantom did a great job when we used it, you know, and we still use it today. We mix it up. But Phantom may have been also overly used, so insects could have built a resistance to it, to where, you know, you kind of have to switch it up to Alpine or a temperate or a different product.
Okay. So now let me ask you something then. So let's say you take that approach, like you said, you come in or somebody says, hey, I have an ant problem. Now you spray, you do the outside treatment, you know, if you're doing your terminal around the foundation, and then you go inside and you're spraying for, you know, you're spraying the baseboards or where they're traveling with Alpine. And I actually, in my practice, I tend to put out, you know, ant gels as well. I've found them to be pretty effective. So I tend to put that out too.
Yeah.
Now what happens, what would your approach be then if I were to say, hey, Daniel, I'm still having ant problems. You know, the ants haven't really gone away. They maybe went down a little bit, but they came back. What would your second attack be?
Well, one thing is, this is where actually, if Pest World was by you actually last year, Pest World's great because another approach that I would take is, are you using an IGR? So back in the day when they did ant treatments, IGRs were like, that's what you do. You put IGRs with, you know, it wasn't around back then, but we'll use Alpine as the example, is you would go in and you would put in an IGR with Alpine and then spray.
Oh, okay.
Because now you're contaminating all the other ants. And if the ants are getting close to the queen, well, now the queen can't reproduce. Well, you just cut off everything.
Yeah. Wow. That's interesting. Cause I actually use that, sometimes when I have a really, really bad mosquito property, I'll actually put some IGR. I'll mix that in with, with the mosquito spray. Cause that is very effective.
Yes.
You know, for that. So that's interesting. I never did consider mixing in IGRs with that. I guess as long as, you know, certain ones you can with Alpine, let's say.
Yeah. So it all just depends. So that was actually a big class that they had at Pest World where it was, you know, bringing an IGR back in with ant treatments because they did away with it because Alpine, you know, what Alpine pushed, and this is where I say politics kind of came into it, is Alpine pushed this magical product, right? It was this magical potion. You could kill anything and everything with it. It was like DDT. But safe.
Yeah.
but we're, you know, fast forward a couple years, that's not true. You know, Alpine is not going to be the go-to and the cure-all for every insect situation. It's a good, good tool to have, but it's not the cure-all for everything. You know, that's where you do have to think a little bit more. So yeah, using an IGR is great. Also, I love Niban. I don't know if you have heard of it.
The granule, that Niban's a granule, right, for the yard.
Yep, Niban's a great one. If you buy the little, there's these little plastic
shakers.
No, not shakers. No. The little plastic boxes.
Okay.
Yeah, but what you can do is you can actually pour Niban into it, and you can put your ant gel in with it, and you can place that around the house.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it's like a little bait station, I guess, in a sense.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other thing is on Alpine, if you are using Alpine, Alpine can take up to 2 weeks to kill a colony.
Right. Right.
You know,
so I did know that too. I've had that where people are like calling you 2 days later. I still have ants. I'm like, listen, you got to give it some time to work. You know, room wasn't built in a day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So the other thing I've learned in my years is Termidor, if it is old, it's not as effective. So if you, if you grab a brand new bottle and you spray with that, ants are gone. If you use an older bottle, it may take a few treatments. It's not going to get rid of them right away. So I had to learn that the hard way. The other thing is Advion ant gel. So Syngenta, if you're listening, I'll call you out. It's the same as if you have old bait, it will not kill ants. It actually won't even do anything. You're probably just feeding them, to be honest with you. Because I've had experiences where I go out and bait, and there you still have ants. And usually, if you get a brand new tube of Advion ant gel and you put that out, they're dead within 24 hours.
You know, it's funny you say that because I learned that exact thing from you.
Yeah.
I was listening to one of the podcasts, and you know, because I've been listening, I've been tailoring to what I'm focusing on, and I read that, I heard that on the podcast. I actually went home and went straight to my storage area to look at my ant gels from last year, and I saw that they were cloudy, and I was like, oh no, we just talked about this. I'm going to have to buy new stuff. So,
yeah, no, and it's, you know, I was like, dude, who cares? Let's keep it. It's freaking 2 years old, whatever. Just use it, you know, get over it, guys. And it was just bad. It just wasn't taking care of anything. And so, yeah, you do have to make sure you're keeping, you know, fresh product or you won't get the results you're looking for.
Yeah, that's definitely something that I, you know, started to look more into, especially, you know, because we get the big swings in weather here. We get the freezing temperatures. We get the super hot. So even just having it on the service vehicle is something that I think about too with that.
Oh yeah. Yeah, for sure. So did I answer your question? I guess I should circle back to that.
Yeah, you absolutely did. That definitely is, you know, that's definitely what I was looking for, because just kind of, like I said, there's just, you can Google whatever you want and it's, you know, you can't really find much information on kind of the approach. And it's, like I said before, I'm not trying to reinvent the wheel. I just want to know what works. That's all it is. So
yeah,
that really does help a lot, to be honest, because I, you know, my approach has been Terminator the outside, the foundation, you know, get that good band going around for the barrier. And then I would move to the inside if it's an initial treatment. And then, like I said, I've been using Alpine and then Advion if I'm dealing with ants. If it's just a general treatment, then I'm just mostly spraying Alpine, you know, along the baseboards, that kind of thing, and then treating crack scrubs and all that good stuff, and then, you know, kind of spot treating the outside where I see fit. But again, like I said, I did have a couple of situations where, you know, the ants almost completely went away and then it started to come back, and I'm like, what am I doing wrong here? And that's kind of where, for me, as a new person, I don't, you know, the next move is the part that I was kind of getting caught up on. So that's super helpful to, you know, I guess I never did consider mixing as something that could definitely be, you know, second line of attack, because you hear, oh, Alpine's the way to go for that. But, you know, like you said, it's not this one size fits all pesticide that's going to take care of all your problems. Sometimes you have to get a little creative with it.
Oh yeah. No. And that's exactly what it is. Cause there's so many in every situation. There's so many little tips and tricks, you know, when you're taking care of certain pests. But the other big one, you know, that helped me out a ton is as I started to learn more about the pest and essentially how they worked, how they functioned, how they lived, that gave me such an upper hand when you go into treatments. We even had it recently with rodents. You know, Aaron had a couple questions on a rodent job that he was at, and he's like, what does this mean? You know, like, I put something down and now it's gone. Like, the workers are moving stuff around. And, you know, I threw out a couple things that I've had in the past, and he's like, that totally makes sense. Okay, then that's you know, that's perfect. But that's exactly what it is every situation is going to be a little bit different when it comes to ants. You know, are you dealing with an Argentine ant? Are you dealing with a carpenter ant? You know, are their diets the same? Is it different diets? You got to know that. You know, if they're not going for the Advion ant gel, well, that's a sugar based, you know, it's a carb. So do you need to put in, you know, a bait that's going to be more fat based or protein based? you need to learn those things about those species. Do they have satellite colonies? You know, you may have killed one or two queens, but they may have had five. You know, did you kill?
Right, you make a really good point there.
Yeah,
you make a very good point. Thinking like the pest. You know, kind of think, where would they travel? Why are they traveling here? Like you said, with mice especially, because you know they're one of the more intelligent ones, I'll say. So, you know, kind of getting in their head, what are they doing? Why are they doing that? That's a really good point.
Yeah, so just each pest is just going to be a little bit different, you know. Like you said, with mosquitoes, sometimes I'm putting in an IGR, you know, to control them. You know, there are those reasons behind that. You know, you're trying to get a better control for a longer amount of time, or in a stubborn situation, you're trying to gain that control. So you're spiking that product. You're getting a synergist in with it, right? You're putting a product that's going to help it out. So just on each occasion, each pest, it's going to be a little bit different.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah. Any other questions you had?
So actually, if you don't mind, I kind of would like to ask you guys some questions in regards to kind of shifting the focus here. You know, we went over actual technician style stuff, but maybe now, if you don't mind, more on like the business aspect of it. It's kind of the one thing that I think, you know, we always go right to the treating the pest, but what about like, you know, the service vehicle, for instance? That was something that I kind of, you know, I focused so much on. All right, how am I going to kill these pests? What am I going to use? What equipment do I need in order to deliver the treatments? But as far as the actual truck goes, you know, how do you have, you know, if you, maybe you want to talk about how you have them outfitted or things that you've found work? Because I always drive around and I see other trucks and I'm like, you know, why did they pick a pickup truck? Like, what is it about the pickup truck versus having like a van or something that's more beneficial? I always kind of wondered, like, what's inside that cap? What's behind the cap of the truck?
A corporation is behind it. You're kidding.
Lots of money.
No, you have a good point, because I went through a phase where I was like sneaking up on trucks and looking in the back. Legitimately, I even met up with someone. They were at a gas station filling up, and I was, you know, at the same time, and I'm like, hey, can I see the back of your truck? And they worked for a big corporation, and so they popped open up the back of the truck, and I'm checking it out, and I'm seeing how they essentially set it up. And of course, they just work for them, so they're like, I don't give a shit, you know, like,
yeah,
look at whatever you want, dude, you know. So it is kind of cool, but really it comes back down to your style. You know, when we started the company, you know, the idea of a pickup truck and why we chose a pickup truck was actually for the look. It wasn't for the functionality of it or because it got better gas mileage. There was really no thinking behind it other than the appearance looks better. You know, we're looking better as we pull up in a full size vehicle than someone who's pulling up in a little, you know, car that's cut in half. You know, we want to look good. We want to look the part. You know, our guys are all in the same uniform. They look the part. They look good going up to the house. They're clean. That was the idea behind it. Is a service van better? Probably. Could be. I don't know. You know, but how we did it was just, it was really coming back on the look of things. So our vehicles, our trucks, how they're set up now, are actually set up a little bit because of restrictions on certain products. So in the state of California, there's some products that you can use with a reel and a pump, but you have to have it at a certain PSI. So if you don't have it at a certain PSI, it's essentially illegal to spray.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we did is we said, okay, look, we're going to eliminate the reel off of our trucks altogether. We're going to go electric backpack sprayers. And actually they were hand pump first. And then we went to electric backpack sprayers. So now we just have a tank, and how it's all set up is we have a hose that's running to the back, and we still have a pump, but now we just carry pre-mixed chemical that we're pumping into our backpack sprayers, so it's a quicker service.
Interesting. Okay, because that was actually one thing I was going to end up asking you, which you just answered it already. But You know, I have right now, I have a pickup truck that I'm using for it. But my biggest thing was the water supply. And in New Jersey, and don't quote me on this, I have to go back and check, but I believe if it's over, it's either 20 gallons, 25, something like that, or maybe 50 gallons of water. No, I think it's 20 something. You have to have it anchored to the vehicle. It must be secured to the vehicle. Mm-hmm. You know, if you have a certain amount of water. So one of the things that I kind of was running into was doing mosquito spray. You're going through a lot of water. I mean, a serious amount of water, because you figure if you're filling up a 3 or 4 gallon tank and a property is an acre, you might be using a lot of that. And if you're doing 5 or 6 sprays, you know, you have a high volume needed. So that was going to be one of my questions, is how do you get, you know, do you guys have a tank with a pump that you're just either pre-mixing and just you have your sprayer at the back and you're just filling it up real quick and moving on? Because again, that is something that, you know, I'd never thought about before. You know, oh my gosh, wow, water is actually going to be, I need that.
Yeah.
That's a big thing I need. So.
Yeah. And we do. So we have tanks, with the other company that I purchased about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, they had, plastic tanks. And there's a ton of, companies out there that will actually sell you the tank and the pump all ready to go. All you have to do is bolt it to your truck. Or even in a van, if you had a van, it doesn't really matter. So, you know, there's so many different methods and ways to do it. You just got to be a little handy on that side of things, is how you're setting up your pump and what pump are you choosing. Old school is now, you know, back in the day, they would actually use gas pumps. We've moved away from that. Electric pumps are 1,000 times better. And there's actually a really good brand. I can't even think off the top of my head of what they're called. Pump Tech.
You'll definitely have to send me that.
No, I think they're called Pump Tech. It just came to me.
Okay.
Pump Tech, they have it there. They call them forever pumps because they will literally last forever.
Nice.
I haven't even had to rebuild one yet. So
and that's great.
Yeah. We've had those on there now 7 years on some trucks, maybe more.
I'm writing that down as we speak.
Yeah, so now you do have to know how to set them up. You know, you do have to know how to install them. But if you do, those things are, they're a little pricey, but they're amazing. I remember I did see a guy with a gas one on his truck, and he's all pulling the string to get it going. And I was just looking at him like, oh man, you're doing it so wrong. There's such a better way.
Yeah. It's even like you said, the electric backpack sprayer. I actually did the same thing. You know, I use a gas one for the, cause we do a lot of fogging here for the mosquitoes, cause you're getting the underside of the trees and brush and shrubs and everything. But I got one of the, flow zone backpack sprayers. The sales guy was like, listen, I'm not trying to upsell anybody. He's like, you're going to spend the money. I would just spend the extra money now and get one of these. And it was, I mean, I was using a pump one before, just, I had bought one and I got the electric one. And you're right, man. It is a game changer, just walking around squeezing a trigger.
It is nice. Yeah. And gas pumps, I should say this to everybody, you know, gas pump, they have their functionality. I'm looking at an ag company right now. Hopefully we'll get closer to purchasing them. But in that sense, you have to use a gas pump. You can't use an electric one in that sense. So they all have their purpose, but as a route technician running around doing homes or, you know, businesses and things like that, do away with it. Electric pump is 1,000 times better. And what they can do today essentially makes a gas pump obsolete in that sense.
Right. Yeah, that definitely makes sense.
Yeah. So, any other questions?
I guess not necessarily anything major. That's, you know, that's some great knowledge for me, especially just, like I said, just getting going. It's been a little bit of a bumpy road, but I'm starting to kind of gain some steam here and start working on a little bit more marketing so that I can, try to ramp it up this year. This last year I took it a little easier, just to see how things went. But this year I plan to really, really get the sales going, hopefully.
Yeah. And we'll be in touch. I definitely want to know how everything's going, you know, and we'll do some follow-ups with you. And yeah, you can definitely call me and we can talk more about, you know, specific things and what you can do. I'm definitely open to help you out.
Yeah, I really, as I said before, I really appreciate this. I hope that other people find the same value that I have, you know, in these different episodes, because at least from my experience, it's been tough to find resources that are continually giving good information that is on the technician side of things as well. I mean, I do have a little bit of the business background and the administrative part of that, but as far as the just technique goes, this is one of the few resources that I have found to be extremely effective. And I appreciate you guys being so open to helping out, you know, because this is, it's altruistic in my opinion. So hey, I appreciate you guys.
That's why we do it. That's awesome.
All right, Eddie. Anything else that you want to ask us before we come to a close?
I guess the only question I would have is, how do you guys like the pest industry?
How do we like it?
How do you like it? Do you see yourself staying in it long term? I guys should never back out of it?
Well, you know, to be 100% honest with you, there has been times where I've said, you know what, this sucks and I'm done. but that's just part of business, and that's just part of, you know, going through, you know, hard times. I think everybody goes through that, in their life, and, you know, maybe not specifically in business, but just in certain aspects of life, you know, you hit a rough time and it's like, man, dude, this sucks. I could be doing something else. I could be doing something easier. And so no, I do not see myself. I love business. I love everything about business. I never thought I'd be in the pest control industry.
I did the same thing.
Yeah, you know, but I love everything about business. So staying in pest control, absolutely. I've grown to love it. I really enjoy it, everything about it, especially really the only way to take away pest control is if you set the city on fire, you know, or there's a massive flood. That's the only way to get rid of us. You know, there is no other way. It doesn't matter what recession comes up. It doesn't matter really anything, because pests are never going to go away. Rodents are never going to go away. So for me, no, I love it. I enjoy it. I'll stick with it. I'll definitely pursue other ventures, but no, pest control is definitely, I'll be here. What about you, Aaron?
I'm here for the long haul.
There we go.
I mean, I'm not just saying that because you're telling me my boss. I mean, you know, just a side note, Eddie. So, you know, we keep our actual business separate from the podcast. You know, our roles, Daniel is owner operator, and we've created a position for me, sales manager, to run a sales team that was non-existent, you know, a few months ago.
Yeah,
but it is existing now. So I find it really interesting talking to a lot of new owner operators on like the acquisition side of the business, because for me coming in, like, it was something that was very rewarding and fulfilling, like pest control sales and going out to these homes and businesses and talking to them about their rodent damage and being able to solve that issue for them. You know, cause you're in full-time medical, was it medical equipment sales, you said?
Yeah. Medical device sales. Yep.
Yeah. So that's what I was going to ask, you know, before we close, actually, it's like, what does your sales look like now? Or how do you feel about your acquisition process now? And kind of what do you have planned for this year moving forward? You know?
Yeah. So I actually recently, you know, moved up in my own company. And you know, I just like to have a bunch of side things going. I like to stay busy. And I love talking to people. And so selling for me, I love doing sales. I think it's very fulfilling and rewarding, as you know, as you already mentioned. But my goal for this truly is to, I believe in helping other people get, you know, better themselves. And truthfully, my cousin, he's a bit younger, and I kind of created this because I saw such a potential, as we spoke about earlier in the podcast. And, I wanted to build this, start off small business and just watch it grow and, you know, be able to say like, I planted that seed and look what it's become. And I just, you know, kind of looking at the, you know, from a 30,000 foot view, I recognized quickly that there is so much room for growth. And if you have the sales experience and the ability to look professional, like you said, you put trucks out there because of the look. You put your guys in, you know, nice clothes because of the look. And that's, I mean, truly, that's how you sell, right? You make yourself look professional to people and market, you know, very marketable. So my goal truly is to build this company and have somebody else, you know, make this their baby, you know. Just kind of be on the sidelines because I focus on my full time job. Obviously, I can't. Hopefully, my boss isn't listening to this, but
we won't tell him. Don't worry.
It's funny because he actually, side note, he actually found out that I had a you know, pest control, and he's like, "What don't you do?" And he was like, "Fucking on me." He's like, "What are you out doing, sprays? You're not working." And I do good at work, so he doesn't really get on me. But he's like, "Yeah, I got spiders, man. Can you come spray my house for spiders?" I'm like, "Oh, you went from busting on me to wanting you to come spray your house." but truly, I wanted to just kind of build something and you know, create that opportunity for other people that maybe aren't so sure about where they want to be. And kind of just, I wanted to be the financial and business backing of that. Because, you know, I see too many kids, you know, younger kids that don't have a direction picked, or college didn't work out for them, or they just don't have much drive or motivation. And I feel that I kind of wanted to try to change that for at least a few people, because, you know, I hear so many stories about people that have extreme financial success in this industry. And if I was 21 years old and was given this opportunity with nothing else going on, you know, this is it. You know, there's a great opportunity to build something and really watch it grow. So I see myself staying in this for a while, and I just hope to keep learning and growing and have other people join and, you know, kind of take over and build it with them. That's really my goal.
Man, that's awesome. Well, Eddie, we'll be in touch because I've actually extended a few offers before that ended up following through. But, you know, we may extend something out to you if you wanted to partner and really see where we can take, you know, cause I do have a soft spot for helping people, you know, in the industry itself, and seeing people who come on, and grow within the company and start to really see the successes from it. I love seeing that, you know, that's the joy that I get, apart from taking care of people's problems and really, you know, diving into the knowledge base of it. But I really enjoy seeing people go from, you know, little to nothing to having success. It really does bring a lot of joy. So that's cool that you have that same, you know, perspective on it.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd be happy to talk about some stuff for sure.
Oh yeah. Well then we'll have a call. I'll set up something. I'll text you and we'll set something up.
Absolutely. I appreciate it. I appreciate all your guys' time. And like I said, all the stuff you're providing for the people in this industry. I really do.
Awesome, man. Thank you so much. And thanks for coming on, Eddie.
Thanks, Eddie.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yep. You have a good one.
All right. Take care, guys.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. There we go. We have Eddie.
Thumbs up.
Best guest.
Thumbs up.
Yeah, no, it's really cool. That's actually really cool what he's doing and kind of his goal and drive behind it. Mm-hmm. I think that's it's really awesome.
I like the clarity he has with his plans and where he wants to take it. You know, it's at such an early stage where, you know, most people, when we talk about their company in this early of a stage, it's very clouded. It's very like, well, it could be this one day or it could be this. And he's mm-hmm. like, no, it's like, I want to get to this point. And mm-hmm. then I'm going to pull myself back, and here are the reasons why.
Yeah.
It's very clear. And I think that's so important and so crucial as you're starting, is to have that clarity moving forward.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I do agree with you. I think that is, it's really cool. It's really interesting to hear that take, you know, from what he wants to do with the business, you know, to helping people out. Mm-hmm. You know, and he's not even looking to stop doing the medical sales.
Yeah.
You know, it's, I'm creating it because I enjoyed it and I thought it was cool that we could do something and actually help people out and give their yards back and they can enjoy their home. But also the twist is I can bring people in and I can give them opportunities, you know, to pull them out from underneath something, you know, or where it is where they can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. He's providing that.
Mm-hmm.
That's really cool.
I know. And, you know, for these guys who have been around like 20, 30, 40 years stuck in their ways and, you know, they're hesitant to change. It's like, you got to watch out for guys like Eddie because, like, he's coming and he's doing it on the side.
Yeah.
And he's beating you in practices and being open to learn and grow. It's like, he's going to fly by that.
Yeah, but, you know, and that's what excites me.
Mm-hmm.
It excites me that there's so many people out there. And it's always fun. I'm always going through those scenarios in my head where you have a big, you know, a big company coming in. They sit down. They want to buy you. You reject them. I love that. I love that because you're terrified of the little guy.
Yeah.
You're scared. And it gets better every time we do these because we hear, you know, more and more people, you know, and we've had so many. Edwin, you know, he's East Coast as well, and he has that mentality. And he actually got back to us. So sorry to take away from Eddie's episode, but Edwin actually used some of our practices we talked to, and he gained customers that way.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. So shout out to you, Edwin. Sorry. Sorry, Eddie. Not to take away from your episode. But it is cool. It's cool to see that those people exist. They're out there, and they're like, dude, we're coming, you know, we're providing something so much better than these massive corporations that I hope they're scared. I hope they're terrified.
They should be.
They absolutely should be, because as the years go on and the technology that we have today and what we're able to get into, we don't need millions of dollars to get a software system or to get a website. That stuff's gone. They don't have the upper hand anymore. Mm-hmm. Their upper hand is advertisement. That's it. And when you hit hard times, guess what they do? Because the CEO wants his paycheck still. So where do they cut? Advertising.
Mm-hmm.
Once you take that advertising away, what do these guys have?
Nothing.
No, they literally have nothing.
Yeah.
They have nothing. They have more offices.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. They have more bills.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have passion. The passion's not there. Mm-mm. You don't get that from a massive corporation.
No.
They're going back to the drawing board saying, okay, last quarter we were down a few points. We need to get our stocks back up. How do we do that?
Yeah.
That's what they're doing, you know? So it just gets me excited to hear these stories and hear these guys.
Absolutely.
You know, and the emotion behind it and what they're trying to do and what they're actually trying to accomplish, you know? And it goes back to when we were talking with Zach after that episode is, you know, that basic information we just gave Eddie, that's not telling any trade secrets, right?
No.
That's all common knowledge.
Yeah.
And you know where I learned a lot of that stuff? Knocking doors.
Yeah.
Legitimately. Yeah. Like, I knew everybody's services, all of the pest control companies in the Sacramento area. Mm-hmm. I knew exactly what they were doing and how they were doing it.
Yeah.
Because I pieced together from talking to hundreds of their customers telling me what they do.
Yeah.
And I piece together their entire company and what they do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's really not that hard. You can figure out what somebody's doing if you wanted to.
Yeah, pretty quickly.
You know, so giving that general information doesn't hurt. It just helps.
Mm-hmm.
So Eddie, thanks for coming on. I do hope that that helped a lot. I hope that we could, you know, really help your business grow, and we definitely will be in touch. We'll reach out to you. We'll talk. I think there's something really beautiful, something really cool that we could create. Even though we're so far away, I think there is something we could do. I think it'll be cool.
Absolutely. You know, thank you again, Eddie. These pest guests have been getting better and better. Not saying the guests themselves, but just the more that we do this, the better the interviews are going. So please, if you do want to be on the show, or if you have any questions, message us directly on Instagram. Also, we had the new launch, so our website is open to taking these questions and to basically ask us to be on the show, ask us for advice. You know, we'd love to hear from you. We love talking to, you know, people like Eddie, people like Zach, Edwin, who are, you know, starting their own path. So it's all been great. If you do listen to this podcast, you know, we're doing a ton of new stuff coming up in May. So if you can like and share this, it'd be greatly appreciated. Mm-hmm. Other than that, thank you for listening to the DNA Pest Control Podcast.